Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we're going to pick up another of the Psalms, in fact another Psalm of David, and we're going to consider Psalm 24. The first thing that David covers in this psalm is a sense that everything belongs to God. Everything is in his hands, and he's a sovereign God, and we can therefore trust him. And then the psalm moves to the truth and the important understanding that there is a general sense of knowing God, a general sense of his presence, but to draw near and to have a close relationship with God is something that's possible. And it's really good to know that we don't just have to have a casual acquaintance with God. We can come to know him in an intimate way as a true friend. And the psalmist talks about climbing the mountain of the Lord. It's kind of getting away from routine, mundane life and just wanting to know his presence. That means that we recognize that God is holy. To be holy means separate. It means that God is very different. And therefore, to get to know him, we've got to have clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, our actions need to be good and our hearts need to be good. We're not divided in our attention. We worship the one true God. And as we seek his face, we can be assured of his peace and his presence. The psalmist goes into a kind of a temple picture of the gates and the outside and the doors, and there's this sense of open up your heart, lift up your heads so that God can come in his glory. Several times you have this phrase, the King of Glory coming in, the King of Glory strong and mighty, the King of Glory coming in, the Lord, he is the King of Glory. And so David is just really taking us from the general picture of creation, sovereignly made by God. He's the creator, he's in charge, but taking us on this journey to a place where we draw near to God. It's personal. It's not general, it's personal. And yet, although it's personal and intimate, all the time there's that tremendous sense he's a glorious king. And we just need to keep inviting him into our lives. We must keep desiring that his presence fill our lives. And there's just a simplicity. Lift up your heads. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord, and he'll come in. And it's great to know that when we use the phrase we've asked Jesus into our lives, it's wonderful to think about the fact that he's come in as he is. He hasn't just sent a bit of him. He comes into our lives, the King of Glory. It's great because so many people, of course, didn't acknowledge when Jesus came that he was the King of Glory, that he was the Prince of Peace, he was the Messiah, he was the Christ. But we have the opportunity to open up our hearts and say, King of Glory, come in to my life and fill my heart and my life with your glory. Let's pause for some worship. My good friend Patrick will join me after the worship to have a few more thoughts around Psalm 24.
In truth, I live to know. like an alabaster box. I draw near to you to worship at your feet. You're beautiful, Jesus, you are beautiful. You're worship you in spirit and in truth. I live to know you more so that you'll be glorified. I gladly break my life like an alabaster box. I draw near to you to worship at your feet. You're beautiful, Jesus, you are beautiful. You're wonderful, and all that I live for. You're captivating, fascinating. I can't take my eyes off you. You're beautiful, Jesus, you are beautiful. You're wonderful, and all that fascinating. You're captivating, fascinating. You're captivating, so amazing. I can't take my eyes off you, beautiful.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look at Psalm 24. A short psalm, Richard, but it starts with this painting a very majestic picture, doesn't it, really? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it upon the seas. It's all about creation, how God was involved in the creation of the world. So the earth is the Lord's, but, you know, we look at it now, we see so many bad things going on, don't we, in the world, whether it's natural disasters or the things that people do. Can we still say that the earth is the Lord's?
I believe we can. The earth still is the Lord's. But, of course, God in his sovereignty has entrusted the care of the earth to us. And he's chosen not to intervene every moment we make a mistake, whether that's environmentally, whether that's through allowing sin into our lives, into our world. God is very grieved that the beautiful creation that he made is being tarnished and spoilt. But it is still his, and it's his prerogative when the time comes that he's chosen to bring it all to an end. So however much people mess it up, they won't actually end it. God will end the world when he chooses. The earth is the Lord's.
Mm. Verse 2 then asks this question, doesn't it? Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And it goes on to really suggest that, I don't know, it takes a special person. It takes somebody with clean hands and a pure heart. I'm thinking about when this was written in Old Testament times, when maybe the understanding of approaching God was maybe different from what it is today.
Well, certainly, if you think of the greatness of God, the majesty of God, that whole sense of the Creator bringing about this earth, then it does beg the question, well, how can we get near to a God who's made sun, moon, stars, knows every drop of water in the ocean, knows all the distances between us and the planets? How can we relate to him? But the psalmist encourages you can relate to him, you can come to know him, but you must respect his holiness. That's perhaps the very key thing.
Is it easier today? Do we have an easier sense of approaching God today than they might have done when this was written?
I would say that it's not changed. The world has changed in many ways. Mm. There are lots of things that have changed. But the desire to know God and the ability to fellowship with God is an experience true today as it has been for man since he was created.
Mm. And the psalm ends up from verse 7 onwards with this, you know, you described it as a kind of a sort of a temple analogy, the ancient doors, the gates that the king can come in. It does have this majestic kind of feel about it, something timeless. But you actually related it to our own hearts. And you said that, you know, the opening the gates is opening our hearts to the Lord.
Yes, I think that is how it is, that, you know, our hearts can be close to God, they can be hard, they can be deceived, but we can, by the grace of God, have a heart which is longing for him and deeply desiring his presence and his will to come in to our lives. And that's what I believe this is a picture of, that the temple doors, the gates opening up to say, no barriers, come in, Lord.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the Psalms in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.